Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Pastor.
I missed you last week.
We missed you, too.
As many of you know, this is the third Sunday after the Epiphany and our annual meeting. And so with these words, I call us to order. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
There is always a sense of adventure when someone begins something new. The idea of new beginnings can be both exciting and scary. Exciting because there is the possibility of creating, well, something new. Adventures, on the other hand, can be scary because, again, there is something new. And we often do not have a clue of where the road might lead. In scriptures, we find many stories of new beginnings. The book of Genesis, for example, speaks of God calling everything from nothing. The heavens, the earth, light and darkness, and all living things, including humankind. We also read stories of God calling human beings into partnership in God's plan. The calls of Abraham and Moses, David and Esther, just to name a few. These were not necessarily called because of their status or good looks. They were simply ordinary folks called by God to do extraordinary work. The same could be said about the places, the regions and territories, towns and villages where God called forth God's helpers. They often were not well known or wealthy. When God's people walked in darkness, the prophet Isaiah recalled God's promise that even the least thought of places, like the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, would be remembered. Even today, some things have not changed. The least and the last are often counted out. Some are counted out simply because of the color of their skin, where they live, what they wear, how they speak, what they believe, and assumptions and half-truths or untruths also often seem to drive this sense of unworthiness. One of the ongoing questions that seems to be a measuring stick here in Beloo is, where did you go to high school? Now, depending on the answer, folks will try to size up the other person and put that person in a box, because you see, there is a difference whether we want to admit it or not. If you went to school in East St. Louis versus Pattonville, Normandy versus Ladue, someplace on the south side, and public school versus private. Now, we all know that not all schools and school districts are equal. But we also know that some of the most innovative and brilliant minds, the most social, ethic, and morally conscious folks sometimes emerge from both privileged and the least likely places, the least likely persons. This morning, Matthew tells us that Jesus had finally begun proclaiming a message of repentance, of people turning their lives around and the nearness of the kingdom of God. It is interesting that he himself emerged from a territory that was thought of as the least likely place that God would ever use or call forth anyone. Think about that. And throughout his ministry, his home, his beginnings were always in question. Because there were folks that said, well, what good can come from Nazareth? Now, do you remember that? Not once, not twice, but several times. Well, what good can come from Nazareth? Who is he? And by what authority is he doing what he's doing? Even to the Son of God, people questioned and doubted. We are told the story this morning of how Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee, calling his first disciples. Note that he did not find them in the synagogue. He did not find them in a palace. He did not find them in the finest places. They were not among the rich and famous. And unlike in John's gospel, they were no one's disciples. Jesus found Simon, Andrew, James, and John doing what they did best, fishing. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. One theologian wrote that it may be that they were compelled to follow Jesus and to obey him, almost as if they had been waiting all their lives to hear this voice, to be issued this call. The bottom line, sisters and brothers, is that they were ordinary people like you and like me. Just ordinary people with fish scales under their nails, smelling like the outdoors. But yes, he called them. I don't have a crystal ball up my sleeve, sisters and brothers. But I pray that individually and together, we hear the voice of Jesus calling us. Calling us to follow him. Calling us to serve.
Yes.
Calling us to love. I was telling multiple people last week that it is hard to believe that I have been with you all now as your priest in charge for 8 months. That's almost like having a baby. And it seems that it was last year around this time that God set the motion for you and I to take this journey together. And I gotta tell you, that I am just as excited to be here today as I was the first day I came into this building.
Amen.
Amen.
And I thank you.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for your love and your support, your encouragement, and your patience. And I look forward to be in partnership with you in this new year as it unfolds and as we together look towards the future. There are many, many things to thank God for. There have been many wonderful blessings and things that we have tried and accomplished. And some that said, oh, well, that didn't quite work like we thought, but we gave it a go. But thanks to everyone involved in ministries that stretch from Sunday to Sunday. This includes events that occur during the week as well. We experienced a great vacation Bible school week and instituted the little library outside, not only for ourselves, but for our community. We welcomed new members into the body of Christ through the sacrament of baptism. We have seen new faces, our numbers slowly increasing and remaining steady on Sunday mornings. We have even added an additional service at 8 o'clock for those early risers. We created a worship team. We experienced a joy-filled Thanksgiving Eve service, and our Christmas services went beyond expectations. Amen.
Amen.
Our liturgical ministers, our choir, our acolytes, our ushers, our worship leaders, our altar guild, faithful Eucharistic ministers and visitors, the money counters, our talented musician friends, including you.
Amen.
Who helped and are helping us in this time of transition. My mind is blown. All I can say is wow. Just wow to all of you. And I am so excited by the number of new acolytes and new readers coming on board in just a few weeks.
Amen.
The Tuesday noonday prayer group continues to meet and fellowship. We've started a Bible study on Thursdays. And this is a plug, come, because we have a good time.
Amen.
Our ECW, St. Margaret's Guild, and men's groups are strong and steady. Something that I had not seen in many a year, so thank you. Our food pantry and volunteers and parish nurse are faithful people. They are loving, as are the people who walk in this building needing that service. And I have to give a shout out for our neighbors, because we have good neighbors. We've got a great communications guru who manages our social media. We've got special seamstresses and people who decorate the building. We have a fantastic administrative assistant.
Oh yeah.
And a kind-hearted sexton. Sexton meaning maintenance. The vestry. The vestry. And so many more of you who work behind the scenes, getting things done, giving your time, your talents, and your money. Thank you. We have folks who, if nothing else, because of health issues or transportation issues, whatever it is, you are present. And I know that you remember to pray for all of us. Because you see, that prayer we cannot do without.
Amen.
And I remember all of our sick and shut in who want to be here by the grace of God and cannot, but we can rest assured that they are praying for you and for me. There is so much more I can say about this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful parish family. And you know, of course, I can't stop these accolades without saying, y'all know you can throw down some food. So I'm going to be in trouble when I have my doctor's appointment next Monday, because I know what I've done. I have sinned. With all of those thanks, we have to also acknowledge a few bumps in the road. We've had to say goodbye to members who went home to God. And we have to realize that there are still people who are hurting and still coming to terms with the merger and with change. Folks who are still trying to find their place in this space. Of course, we know some things had to be put on hold. And we are living with that D word. No, not that word. D as in deficit. But I will leave that for someone else to speak on. It has been a journey. But look how far we've come.
Amen.
Look how far we have come. And it will be a joy and is a joy to vision where we are going together. We've got to build on what has been and what has been started new over these last few months. We've got to get busy creating some things that are new. There are wonderful days ahead for us, and it will take all of us. It will take all of us. You hear me? If you are within the sound of my voice, it is going to take all of us to make this church, this parish, what it's supposed to be. Because God is not finished with us yet. We've got to build on our relationships among ourselves and in our community. We've got to empower and connect with our youth and young adults.
Amen.
And we've been thinking about making those possible connections with the Normandy School District and students of UMSL by way of campus ministry. We need to walk forward on that.
Yeah.
We need to further develop our music ministries so that young folks can learn, continue to learn and appreciate the arts, the music, the theater, all of that, to get those creative juices going Because when they go, other things go. You know that. Me, myself, I hope that this is the year that we finally begin a feasibility study toward having a capital campaign so that we can begin the expansion and renovation of this facility. I think we can do that. We need to do it. We need to be a more visible and viable parish in this diocese as we welcome and work with our bishop-elect, Dion. It's like an Obama moment. That you never thought in your life you'd ever see a black president, let alone a black bishop in the diocese of Missouri. We are small, but we are mighty. Did you hear me? Let's say it together. We are small, but we are mighty. And we are in a unique situation, sisters and brothers. We are two congregations that have merged together, and we are one. Making us the only African American parish in the entire diocese of Missouri.
Wow.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
It's marvelous. But what is that saying about heavy is the head that wears the crown? Because we have unique responsibilities. Not only to ourselves, but this community and in the Diocese of Missouri. I'm about to close. Because I told Bill I wouldn't speak too long. But I just had to say those things so that you can realize the strength that lies within this place and within you. So we have to step out, step up, and humbly be in service to others. And together with God's help, we can be partners in God's work. It is often said about the Episcopal Church of All Saints and Ascension that the Spirit of God is alive and well in this place. And so that means a lot can happen if we avail ourselves to Jesus' call. There might be some of you saying, I'm too young. I don't know what to do. Let us teach you. And for those who say, I'm too old, please, we need your wisdom. We need your pearls of wisdom. We need your experience. Teach us. And I include myself. Teach me. Show me. Show each other what love means. What caring means. What service means. We can do this. We can do this. Sisters and brothers, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are his ears and his eyes. We are bearers of his light. We are people who hear his voice that calls out again and again and again and again. Follow me.
Yes.
Follow me and I will make you fishers of people. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to be a follower. That's what it means to be a member of the beloved community. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. Let us make a difference in this community, the church, and the world. Amen.
Amen.